Good morning. Everybody can just kind of tune down the conversations and resume after we get the services done today. It's great to see you all talking together. I want to welcome everybody, especially our visitors, especially those on our live broadcast. We're thrilled to have you with us today. Got quite a few announcements, so I'm going to try to get through them here real quick for you. We do have a big prayer list, so we're glad to see Naomi here today. We're glad that she's with us. She still says she's struggling a little bit, so we need to keep her in our prayers. Good to see Ken and Sandy White. Tamethia is still having some issues. Bob Crane is probably still dealing with some issues. We're hoping he's getting better. Myself, I think I'm about 99.99%. So I'm glad. Let's just say I'm eating normal now. Brooklyn's friend Morgan, we're still needing to have her in our prayers. She's dealing with her scoliosis and pain involved with that. My son's father-in-law, Kevin Shaver, is having a bout with stage 3 colon cancer. They're doing surgery in a few weeks to start the healing process, so we will appreciate all the prayers on his behalf. Beth Bowen, family of the Cranes, has developed breast cancer, so we want to keep her in our prayers. Sherry's not with us this morning either. She's sick this morning, so let's keep her in our prayers. Got a note from Martha. Ruth Ann Stanley and all the Jackson family extend their sincere thanks and appreciation for the cards and prayers on their behalf. They said it has meant so much to them. So thank you to everybody who sent those cards. James McMillan gave me a reminder that we still have a sign-up sheet that we need to consider signing up for the Sasquatch Festival and our booth that's going to be set up there. That'll be on Saturday, October 3rd from 10 to, is it still 6 o'clock?
Might be
8 o'clock. So there'll be time periods. Once all the names are on here, they'll get together and decide who's doing what times and get together with everybody on that. So let's all volunteer the best we can possibly do before you all get volunteered, if you know what I mean. All right. As far as the order of worship today, I did not check with everybody. I'm hoping everybody's here. Yes, Pearl.
I have to go back to the doctor tomorrow, and I'll let you know what the reports are.
Okay, Pearl's going to be going back to the doctor tomorrow, so everybody keep Pearl in your prayers, and let's hope that it's good results and nothing has gotten any worse. All right, the evangelism prayer today will be James Oliver. James Miller has our songs. David Morse has our opening prayer. Jamie's not here, so is go have a volunteer to help with the... James McMillan will help David Hutchcraft, okay. Josh Blair is going to do our scripture reading. That'll be Psalms 18, 28 through 29. Doug's got our sermon. And Mike Porter will be doing our closing prayer. So one other thing I want to bring up, and it's been a while since we've discussed them, but the blessing bags that we have on that back table back there, we've got a few left still. That is a good thing for us to reach out into our community when we see those folks standing on the corners, on the shopping center at Walmart or wherever, that are needing a little bit of help. There are things the church has provided. There's Bibles and literature. We have socks and different things in there, but you can add a gift card or some cash or some coins or something to help them get by and get some food that they might need for that day. So don't forget to pick one of those up if you don't have one handy in your car, so you can hand one out. All right, are there any other announcements that need to be made? All right, let's go ahead and begin our worship.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us to come here to worship you, to sing songs unto you, and gather as a congregation of your church. And we pray and ask for guidance that everything that we do here is always pleasing unto you. And we're glad that the men of the congregation and the individuals here have adhered to or trying to work out this evangelism program. We know that the end result is spreading the gospel, and we ask that you guide us and help us, and all the individuals here all have a different way of teaching and preaching, and we're glad that we can meet here and learn more about you and be able to share this knowledge about the Bible, and the end gate will be your plan of salvation. So we pray and ask that you be with all the ones here and all the ones that we meet, that we can spread the gospel, teach them the word, and answer their questions, and give them your plan of salvation. For we know that one day that we'll be called upon, and we have to make that decision, or the decision's already been made for us. And we ask that you be with the ones that are involved in the program, and let's try to help one another to do your work. We ask that you go with us now and guide us, and all these things that we ask in Jesus' name.
Our first song selection this morning, the song title found in our books is Walking in Sunlight. This is number 708, just as you see listed there on the slide. Walking in Sunlight, number 708. Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. The song that we'll sing before our opening prayer this morning, Near to the Heart of God. This is song 447 for anyone following along in our hymnals. Near to the Heart of God, song 447. We'll sing this and then we'll be led in prayer.
Heart of God, a place where sin Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be in your presence and in the fellowship of one another, Father, to encourage one another, to live like Christ, to see his beacon of light shine throughout the world and in our hearts and from your word, Father, that we might have a enlightened path to a home in heaven with you forevermore. We know that's only possible because of his great sacrifice and your wonderful words which guide us into that path. Father, we're mindful of those that are on our prayer list. We're mindful of Naoma, Father. She's in our presence today, but her leg and knee and needs a lot of help, Father. And we pray for that. We pray for Tamethia with her stomach ailments. Pray for Aunt Pearl with her upcoming, with her current illness and her upcoming test. Father, we pray for, we give thanks that Don's better. And he's with us today, and we know that's a blessing from you. And pray for Brooklyn's friend Morgan with her diagnosis of scoliosis that she can endure. And Father, for Brother Shaver, Jasmine's father, we pray for his treatments, that they will be successful, that he'll be granted better health and a longer life. Father, we just have so many that's on our prayer list. All of our shut-ins, Father, that can't be with us on a regular basis. Pray for Mike Porter with his heart condition, that you'll strengthen it and help it to have a better rhythm and the blood won't be gurgling back so much. Just strengthen him, Father. For our sister Rose and Jack and Millie and Catherine Wright, my mother, Evelyn, so many, Father, that can't be with us on a regular basis. We pray for them that they'll be encouraged, that if they have the avenue of listening into our worship, that they're doing so, and that we can encourage them, Father, with continue to encourage them with cards and letters and visits. And we pray that things will go well, that their hearts can be strengthened. Father, for our world, we continue to need intervention from the Prince of Peace. Because there's so much, Father, that's in turmoil. And lives are being lost, and that's a terrible thing, Father. No matter who's right or wrong, or if anyone's right or wrong, we know that the loss of life is not good. And Father, we pray for peace. We pray for the world to come under the rule of Jesus, because when we have hearts like Jesus, war is never necessary. Mm-hmm. Father, for ourselves today, help us, Father, to draw near to you with a full heart, an open heart, open mind. Help us to kneel before you and kneel before your word and recognize that you have a perfect will, that sometimes we're disciplined, but Father, it's always for our betterment. It's never out of meanness. It's always meant to correct us. And help us, Father, to receive that correction like a child who trusts their parents. Help us to do that, Father. Bless us now in our worship. Help us, again, to have open hearts and open minds. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing the song, "Tis Midnight," and "On Olive's Brow." This is number 709 in our hymnals. "Tis Midnight," and "On Olive's Brow," song number 709. After this song, we will share together the Lord's Supper.
In the garden. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you at this time to ask you to bless this bread that represents Christ's body that hung there on that cruel tree so long ago. As he done so willingly to give his life up so that we might have a chance to be with you in heaven, we are so thankful for all the sacrifices that he made just to come down here to earth, teach us, and ascend back to heaven. We are deep thankful for all those things. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
A blessing for the cup.
Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning to give thanks for your Son and his efforts to save our souls that we might end up in heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray that through the blood he sacrificed, that everybody takes advantage of that blood and redemption. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I
That concludes the Lord's Supper, but as we're conveniently gathered, we will take up a collection for the further of the work here at Harrisburg. Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we collect money, that we can further your work here and in a way that we can use it to help the community, help each other, help especially you as we spread your word. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this morning is number 293, that song title, I'll Live for Him. I'll Live for Him, song 293. If you would at this time mark the song of encouragement that we will sing after this morning's lesson, that number is 667. And that song title, There is Power in the Blood. Song number 667, that's an encouragement hymn for after this morning's lesson. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to our scripture reading in our lesson, Ring Out the Message. This is 833 in our hymnals. Ring Out the Message, song 833.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new, it will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word for land and sea. Still far from Jesus many live in sin.
Today's scripture reading, Psalms 18, 28, 29. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall.
Before I begin the lesson this morning, I want to know that a couple things. First of all, I want you to notice in the bulletin about the eldership. There's a box square in the inside page that I'm not going to read it to you now, but if you'll read that, please, and be aware of that, that the congregation here is putting forth two men to be elders, and we will encourage you to speak to them if you want to before August 9th. And second, tonight I am going to be speaking on the mission trip that I made earlier in this month. And so I want to encourage and invite everyone to be back and so that you can hear about that work and know that you were a part of it. Jesus is light. He is the light of man. And we're going to be talking about how he is light for us. And it starts very early in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and then in verse 9. In verse 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jesus came to be our light, to bring our light to everyone in the world, so that they could have the chance and hope of eternal salvation. But there are those, there were those then, there are those now, that will not hear it, that are what Jesus calls, the Bible calls, darkness, those that are in sin and have turned away from God. Verse 9, it says, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." Not a false light, right? A true light. Jesus was the light that came from God, and he came to bring light to all the world. He came to bring light to everyone in the world. In John chapter 8, in verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Okay, we saw earlier it saying that he was going, that speaks someone else speaking about Jesus being the light, but here it tells us that Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus says, "I am light for everyone in the world. And if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness." So we have a choice as we go through life in relationship with God, either to walk in his light or to be in darkness. If we sin and do not follow God, if we do not obey him, then we will be walking in darkness. But Jesus wants us to have the light of life. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. "Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you have become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." Jesus said, you know, of course, he was talking to them about him being with them right then. Walk while you have the light with you. And that Jesus was saying to them that there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be here. But he says, if we walk in darkness, we don't know where we're going. And I think about this as a kid. I don't know about you, but I didn't like darkness particularly. I mean, to be real, darkness. I was never one that I remember being afraid of being in a dark bedroom at night. But, you know, if you were out in the forest or out in the woods or down by the river or anything like that, and it was no moon out, no sun or stars, if you've been out camping at all, you can know it can be really, really dark. And so we don't want to be in that dark. We don't want to be not knowing where we're going. What if you were out driving and your headlights went out on your car at night? That would be, to me, that'd be a really scary thing. It's really scary when I see a car coming towards me after it's gotten dark and they don't have their headlights on. I always flash them, turn on your lights, you know, turn on your lights, because I want to see you and I know you should be wanting to see. But he says, while you have the light, become sons of light. We have the opportunity today in our lives to have the sun, the light of Jesus in our lives. We have that opportunity. And he wants us to know them and to have them in our lives. And then in John chapter 12 and verse 46, "I have come as a light into the world." Now he said that in all three of these passages, hasn't he? "That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So one of the keys to finding out about Jesus and living in his light, it starts with believing in him. Jesus said, if you don't believe, nothing else matters. You know, you're going to be condemned if you don't believe. But it starts with believing in him to lead us to the light of God so that we can have the light in him. Well, we've been talking a bit about already about light and darkness, about the difference between light and darkness. When Jesus is talking about light, of course, he's talking about him. He's talking about being right with God. He's talking about being pleasing to God. When he's talking about darkness, he's talking about not being with him, not being in the right, not being in the right place at the right time. Jesus came to get rid of the darkness and take us out of the darkness so that we could be with him. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Jesus said, I am here. I have come into the world. But there's people that aren't going to listen to me because they're darkness. and they would don't want to have the light. Why? Because it says their deeds were evil, because they were not doing what God wanted them to do. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be in that shape when Jesus comes again. We want to be ready for him as a part of his light so that we can go with him and be with him forever. Don't love darkness. There are people that truly love the ways of darkness today, don't they? Yes. You know who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. You've met them. You know some of these people that live in darkness, and they like living in darkness. Jesus said, that's not what you should be. And then in verse 20, he goes on to say, for everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I think this is one of the hardest things when you talk with people about becoming a Christian, is that they look at their sin and their deeds in the light if you begin to talk about it, and they don't want to be exposed. They don't want to say, yes, I'm a sinner, because it makes them look bad. What about today, in our lives today? In my younger years, when a preacher would get up and preach the gospel and offer an invitation, you know, come forward and let's pray for you. People would do that. But maybe today that people don't want to admit that they're sinners, that they have things that they struggle with. I'm not making any accusations, because I know it's hard for me to get up and respond to that kind of way too. But we need to be careful not to let our be afraid to have God cleanse us from our sins. We need to be ready for that and be allowed to God to do that for us. And it says if we're practicing, that means we're doing these things regularly. If you hate the light, then you won't come to the light because you hate it. What do you hate in life? I hate liver. Okay? I don't want to have anything to do with liver. One of the times when I was in Ukraine, liver the Ukrainians like. And they had a breakfast gravy one time, and it looked really good. And they had some mashed potatoes. That's kind of how they do potatoes in the morning breakfast. And so I put some of that on there. And I thought, someone said, I think that's liver. And I thought, no, it couldn't be. I took a small bite. It was liver. I did not eat that liver. The gravy was okay. But the liver was liver. And someone said, well, it's chicken liver. Well, that's not any better as far as I'm concerned. What do you hate? Do you hate evil or do you hate light? What's your choice? What's your choice in getting there? Finally, in verse 21, he says, but he who does the truth comes to the light. Remember who the truth is? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus says, if you love the truth and you come to the light, then your deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been that they have been done in God. We can have our sins taken away. Jesus came so that our sins could be taken away. He died on the cross to bring us into the light, that our sins could be taken away. Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. Paul's talking about when Jesus talked to him on the road to Damascus. And he said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's what you do when you come out of darkness and be an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus came to turn people from darkness to light. He sends us to turn people from darkness to light. He sends us to take people from the power of Satan to the power of God. Yes. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to be that. That's what he is. That's what he wants for us to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded. Is that important? God commanded. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to follow God's commands? God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He sent Jesus to be that light, to shine out of darkness, to shine into us, to shine into our hearts, to change our lives. I don't know if I told you or not, but my aunt, my mom's sister, my early years of knowing her, she was, and she lived in California and we lived in South Dakota, but we met several times. But she was not a nice person. She was not. And later on, my mom was able to teach her the gospel, and she changed 100%. And she became one of the sweetest, in the last years of her life, she was known as one of the sweetest and kindest people of all those that were around her. God changed her because she faced her sin and turned it over to God so that the light shone in her, and she became a totally different person in Jesus Christ. You know what a difference it makes to know, to have the knowledge of God and the glory of God in our lives. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment. The idea of transforming themselves, this did not mean they became Christians. They just didn't become apostles. It meant that they began to look like apostles of Christ. They weren't doing it. Follow through with this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Does Satan become an angel of light? No. He has become one that begins to look like an angel of light. We have got to watch out for this kind of people. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Are they ministers of righteousness? No, they're not. But they've began to make themselves look like they are. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? Let me finish that text. "Whose end will be according to their works." We're not having anything to do with apostles, deceitful workers. Not having anything to do with Satan. We're not having anything to do with ministers who make themselves look righteous but are not. Boy, that hits right here. You know, I have to make sure as a minister that I am not in any way teaching forms of unrighteousness. I want to teach righteousness in the Word of God. I want to be right with God. Don't you? I want to be right with God. I want to please God in all that I do. I want to walk in the light. And I know you do too. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. First of all, verses 6 and 7. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Okay, he's talking about those that God is under the wrath of God. If it's under the wrath of God, are they walking in darkness or light? They're walking in darkness. It comes upon the sons of disobedience. Well, that should tell you something right there, that they are doing things that are disobeying God. Do not be a partaker with them. Do not share with them. Do not do what they do. Verse 8 and 9. "For you were once darkness." Is that true? Were we once darkness before we came to Christ? We were. "But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." There you go. Walk as children of the Lord, light of the Lord. And that's what God wants for us to do. We were once darkness. Every person, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that mean we're all sinners and lost right now? Not if we claim God's righteousness, God's holiness, and been washed by the blood of Christ when we're baptized into Christ. We don't have to be darkness. That's what we once were. Let us be light in the Lord. Verses 11 and 12. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Don't participate in the ways of sin and ways of people of the world. Don't share in their unrighteousness. Don't participate with them. These things are done in secret. That's not what God wants. "But all things," verse 13, "but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." I thought about having someone turn the lights off at this point in here. You know, it wouldn't be completely dark, would it? But would you notice if the lights were all turned off? You thought, what's going on with this crazy preacher, right? But then we turn them back on, and we have been revealed again. We have been made known again. You see, we have been exposed by the light, and we have accepted that light. There are those that are exposed to the light that refuse it, that reject it, and will not go on. You know, we talked about being out in utter darkness, right? And you have a flashlight. You know, some flashlights are stronger than others. I have a flashlight on my phone. It does pretty good, but I would not. It doesn't go very far. Then you have a flashlight, those beams that are supposed to go way out there. But did they completely destroy the light at night of a flashlight? No. What about headlights on your car? Are your bright lights better than your dim lights? They're supposed to be anyway, right? They're supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to work. But how far do they completely take you out of the darkness? Jesus completely takes us out of the darkness of the world and puts us in the hands of God. Completely destroys darkness everywhere he goes, if we'll but listen and follow. See, we are to be the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We know this story from the Sermon on the Mount, don't we? How that we are to be the light of the world, Jesus says. Set me on a hillside. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Well, that's great. That's what we should be. We want to be light to wherever we are and wherever we go. We don't have the power within ourselves to completely destroy darkness. Jesus had that power, but he still let people choose if they were going to choose darkness or if they were going to choose light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we are the light of the world, what are we shining when we are? We're shining Jesus Christ. We are shining his light through us. We get to be a part with him to share this light into the lost world. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, it says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are of the light. You know, that's such good news that we are that way. Sons of light, sons of the day, children of God, children of light on every focus if we're walking with God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But if you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God says, you're special as his children. You are special, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Why? Because we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. God calls everyone. But those who respond are the called out of God, and we have the opportunity to be special with God. Everyone can be that special, not just us. But when a person comes to God out of darkness into light, this is what he calls us to be. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. None. God's taken the darkness out of us. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So it's not a matter of just saying, I'm a Christian, I'm good, I'm right with him. No, what do we have to do? If we're walking in darkness, that makes us out to be a liar before God and before man. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, again, we have a choice. Will we walk in light or will we walk in darkness? What is it going to be? Excuse me. Jesus has set the standard for us. He is the true light that comes from God. the only light that comes from God. Jesus came to overcome darkness and bring light to all people of the world, to everyone that's here today, everyone that's out there today, everywhere in all the world. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christians are the light of Jesus in our world today. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's our design. That's who we are. We're to take the light to the world. Our light of Jesus does the world no good if it stays in this room. If it stays in this room, if it's just us, and if we don't tell anybody about it, is it going to change the world? It's like if we have light, we have great light, and we cover all our windows so we don't let any of it out. We don't want any light getting out there. But we do. We want to let the light of God go out into the world so that they can know. Let us take our light to a dark and dying world. Oh, it's so needed. It's so needed. We see it every day in our lives. We see it any day that we go out into the world. If we are not the light, who will the light be? Will you be the light of Jesus today? Will you come to him and give your heart and your soul to him? Will you be the light that he wants you to be, that he came to give you to be, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can walk with him forever? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging them and let them know that they're missed by us when they can't be here. Even some among us are struggling with some different things. And if that's you, then you're an encouragement to those of us who are feeling pretty well, I suppose, and you uplift our spirits, and we want to continue to encourage you to endure. We want to remember that we have a sign-up list for the Sasquatch Festival. We're going to set up an evangelistic-type booth where we can tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ and about the church of our Lord and Savior. And And that's coming up here in about 2 months, that event is. We just need to plan accordingly, so sign up early so that we know who has interest in working that event. And then once we get all the names on the list that that we think are going to be involved, then we will kind of divide up the work accordingly. Is there anything further that we need to make known? James, you had a comment?
There's still blank places on the Lord's Table sign-up sheet.
All right.
Can be filled in if somebody so desires.
All right. If you want to prepare communion, anytime between now and the end of this year, that list is hanging in the foyer on the bulletin board to my right, on the right as you're headed out the door. Anything further before we go to God in prayer? If not, Brother Porter.
Let's go to our God. Most righteous in heaven, we want to thank you for having everyone together today. Ask you to look over each and every one here and all those on our sick list. Ask you to look over all those that's been traveling this summer. And we want to thank you, your son Jesus, for being the light. Let him help us be more like him and shine the light out to all those that's in the darkness. You know, we love everything he's done for us. We know that he is the light. He can cure any disease as long as everyone believes in him. You know, he's such a wonderful, loving Jesus. We ask you to look over all those kids out there that's getting ready to go back to school here shortly and watch over them through all the trials. Guide them in the way of the light. You're such a wonderful Jesus. I want to thank you again and thank your son Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.